There was a workman. And this workman, at the end of a working day, was leaving the factory. And he's pushing out his wheelbarrow. Inside the wheelbarrow is a small box. He's stopped by a security guard. The security guard says, "What have you got in your wheelbarrow?" He says, "I've got a small box." He says, "I know it's a small box. What is in the box?" He says, "You know the sawdust that's on the floor at the end of a working day? It's swept up, it's thrown away. Well, I needed some of the sawdust. I put it in a box. I'm taking it home." The security guard says, "Open the box." Opens the box. It's sawdust. Out you get. Next day, same thing. He's pushing out his wheelbarrow. He's got a box. Same security guard. "It's you again. What do you got in the box?" "I've got the same as the other day. I've got sawdust." Open it, sawdust. Third day, fourth day, same thing. Fifth day, he's pushing out his wheelbarrow. Small box in the wheelbarrow. It's the same security guard. "It's you again. What you got in the box?" "The same as the other 4 days." Opens it, sawdust. The security guard says, "I've got a feeling you are stealing something." He says, "Look, I tell you what, just tell me what you're stealing and I promise I won't report you." The man goes, "All right then, I'm stealing wheelbarrows." Isn't life a little bit like that? Sometimes we get so preoccupied with a little thing that we miss the big picture. We miss the big picture. You know, something little distracts us and we don't see the big picture. If we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. That was very good, wasn't it? Okay, repeat that after me. If we change, after me. If we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. What do we need? What do we need in life? We need insight. We need foresight. We need oversight. And it would be great to have some hindsight. Insight is like looking through a microscope at the details. Foresight is like looking through a telescope at the distance. Oversight is like being in a helicopter and looking down at where you live. We need insight, foresight, oversight. Who has that? Only God does. Only He has insight, foresight, oversight. And as we connect and engage and tune in with God, do we gain His insight, His foresight, His oversight, and learn from our past and gain some hindsight. I'm going to encourage you to look in 5 directions. Direction number one, look up. Direction number one, look up. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Where does my help come from? I look up. My help comes from the Lord. Have you noticed how so many people? I couldn't believe it today. We spent the afternoon with the staff of the church, and then we walked back to our hotel. I mean, people are like looking at their mobile phones. I don't know, how do they see people when they're walking? And have you noticed how so many people are looking down? They're always looking down. And then what? Notice this. When you remove the phone, they're still like this. They need to see a chiropractor. Don't look down. Look up. You know when we look down like this, do you know that the average head weighs 10 pounds? Did you know that? Weighs 10 pounds. So when you're bent down over like that, it's not good on your shoulders. This lady who was a bit kind of overwhelmed with a sense of kind of darkness went to see her doctor. And the doctor said to her, now, you walk to the station every morning from your home to go to work. She said, yes, I do. And so the doctor said, well, I'd like to prescribe this for you. I want you every day when you leave your house to go to the station to go to work, I want you to look up and I want you to look at the rooftops. Do that for a month and come and see me. She came after a month. The doctor said, how are you? She goes, I'm feeling so good. Why? Because when she looked up, her chest opened, she breathed much better. She was looking up rather than looking down all the time like this. You know, and God is encouraging us to look up. Look up. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist again says in Psalm 105, verse 5, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And we read again in Psalm 34, verse 4, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. When I was at seminary, training, preparing to become a minister, we were taken, our very small class was taken to a monastery to experience kind of monastic life. And we were introduced to this monk, and the monks spoke to us for about 5 minutes. He took us into the chapel and he said, what I want you to do is to sit still and think about Jesus. And I'll be back, he said, in 3 hours. I can remember, I was sitting and I... I was like picking up bits of paper. I was trying to get the attention of my mate. What is going on? It's like I couldn't sit still. I couldn't sit. You see, what the monk was trying to teach us was, be still and know that I am God. Yeah. After that, I started to go to the monastery one day a month. Every month. I did it for 17 years. I take my Bible and I could sit there all day. Focusing on the Lord, reading his word, seeking him, kneeling, praying, worshiping. And the day would just go like that. And I'd like, I want to stay more in the presence of the Lord. And what happens? The Lord works in us. So the first thing I want to encourage you is look up. You know, I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. Wouldn't you? Let's look up, stand with God. That's the first encouragement. Number one, look. Number two, look in. What's number two? Look in. Right, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see things. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we read in Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, see if there is any offensive way in me. Yes, we do look up, but we also have to look in. Now, when Killy and I, we travel extensively. I mean, we sometimes stay in people's homes, but we frequently stay in hotels. And in hotels, I'm kind of like a little kid. I'm like, you know, I'll go into the bathroom and like, oh, I'll have a good look around. And if there's two sinks in the bathroom, I'm so happy. because we've only got one at home. And so if there's two, I've got my own sink. Anyway, we were in this hotel recently and they had this big mirror. And it was like, oh, massive mirror. Although it wasn't that good, to be honest, because you could see too much. And but then they had the little mirror. This little mirror, and I kind of pulled the little mirror out, and I looked at myself, no! And Killy ran into the bathroom, says, what's wrong, what's wrong? She thought I slipped over. I said, I can't believe it, I've got blackheads. Now, you know, isn't it interesting? When I looked into the big mirror, I didn't see any blackheads. I looked into the magnifying glass, and it's like, what is that on my nose? What would it be like if we looked into God's mirror? What does God see? What does God see in my mind? What does God see in my heart? And so with the psalmist, we say, search me, search us, God, know our hearts, test us and see if there is any offensive way in us. Is there anything, Lord, in me that's hindering the work of your Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit living and working in us produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So how long have you been a follower of Jesus? How long have you been a Christian? How fruity are you? How fruity are you? Because if you're lacking love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, it probably means your arteries are a bit blocked up. And they need unblocking. They need cleansing. And they need refilling with his holy presence. So what do? We do look up. But secondly, we look in. Number one, we look. Number two, we look in. Right. Number three, we look back. Number three, we look back. So, John 1, verse 29. John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, we look up. Yes, we look in. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, he's the one. We were driving in London recently, and we got to the traffic lights. They were red, and our car kind of came next to this big white van, and on the side of the white truck, it said painters and decorators established in 2016, and I was like, I've got to talk to them. I've got to tell them to change what they've written on their truck. I mean, why on earth would you put established 2016? You've got no experience. I mean, who's going to use them? I really felt sorry for them. Drop the 2016. You've got no experience. No one is wanting to use you. Don't you realize I'll help you in your business, your advertising? There's a store in London in a place called Piccadilly. It's a department store. It's called Fortnum and Mason. Outside the store, there's a big sign and it reads, established in 1707. Now they know how to run a department store. In fact, that's where the Queen of England used to do her shopping. They know how to, yeah. Christianity established 2,000 years ago, billions of satisfied customers. If you're a satisfied customer, stand up. Stand up if you're a satisfied customer. Stand up. if you're a satisfied customer. Look around. We've got some satisfied customers. Please take your seats. We've got three sons. When our firstborn son, he was about 4 years of age, and I took him to buy his mum a Mother's Day present. And we're walking around the stores. We walk into one store, and as we walk into the store, there was a big sign at the entrance. It read, "Do not touch. All breakages must be purchased." I mean, why didn't I just walk out? I've got a four-year-old. I know what he's like, but I know what I'm like. I'm a little bit clumsy sometimes. And, you know, we should have walked out, but we didn't walk out. And we're walking around. And then I saw it out of the corner of my eye, how he knocked this thing over. And it looked like slow motion. And I was like, no. And it kind of fell. The manager came out of nowhere. I don't know what. And he stood there, he didn't say anything, he just pointed to the sign. Do not touch. All breakages must be purchased. I said, I didn't do it, he did it. And I thought, why don't I just walk out of the store? Because four-year-old Michael, he can pay for the damages. I didn't do it, he did it. He did it. Now, there was absolutely no way the four-year-old Michael could pay for the damages. Only his daddy could pay for the damages. There's no way you and I can pay for the damages. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. By dying on a cross, he purchased for us forgiveness. 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 Before we can see the cross as something done for us, we need to see the cross as something done by us. Our old history ends with the cross, and our new history begins with the resurrection. So what do? We look up. We look in. We look back. We look back. And now what do? We look around. We look around. Number one, we look. Number two, we look. Number three, we look. Number four, we look around. Matthew 5 verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. You see, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And so what happens is I look up and I gain strength. I see myself and I like, I need cleansing. I connect with the Lamb of God and I'm washed and I'm empowered by his Spirit in order to be a channel of grace. Wherever I go, wherever I am a carrier of his presence. Some people create happiness wherever they go. And some people create happiness whenever they go. You know when you meet someone who sucks the energy out of you? You know, high maintenance. And as soon as they've gone, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, don't be like that. Be a person who wherever you go, you permeate the gospel, the good news, the peace, wherever you go. You know that there are two reasons today why people are not yet Christians. One, they've never met a Christian. Two, they have met a Christian. You and I can either help or hinder someone's journey of faith. Last week, we had a day off. We'd been in America for 3 weeks, ministering in lots of different states. And we had a day off, and we were like, okay, you know, what should we do? And we thought, oh, you know, why don't we go to a shopping mall? And I thought, great. So we got an Uber. We're in the Uber. I say to the driver, what would you like God to do for you? He said, I would like God to help my mother because she's got Alzheimer's. I said, would you like me to pray? He said, would you? I said, yes, of course. So I start praying that God will help this man's mother. And then after I pray for his mother, he's crying, he's driving and crying. Yeah, and then we tell him about Jesus. He now wants to go to church. And then wait a minute. And then I give him a cross because I carry crosses with me. I bought 500 of these and I give them to people. I give them to people who don't know Jesus. And I say, can I give you this little cross? It's from Bethlehem. It's olive wood. Let me give this to you. Oh, please. I tell them a little story about the cross. Oh, wow. Now, when my wife and I said, oh, let's go to the shopping mall, we didn't say, oh, when we get into the Uber, let's headbutt the Uber driver into the kingdom of God. No, we were in there. It was a bit of a journey. I just asked him what God wanted to do for him. It's not a big deal. I carry the presence of God. Anyway, we get to the mall. We just have a little wander around. Oh, it's time to go. We want to get back early because we're preaching all day the next day, Sunday. And our Uber app didn't work. No, it's not working. I can't believe it. It's the first time our Uber app didn't work. Oh, no. What are we going to do? How are we going to get back? What? Oh, no. So there's people everywhere. And I said to my wife, Killy, ask that woman there. Ask that woman there if she knows why our Uber app is not working. Okay, so there's people everywhere. So my wife goes up to this lady. I follow my wife. My wife says to this lady, excuse me, I don't know if you know, but our Uber app isn't working. Would you know why it's not working? The lady says, where are you staying? Where are you living? And we said, well, we're staying in a hotel. Which hotel? We told her. Oh, she says, that's 20 minutes away. She says, I'll take you. I mean, who does that in America? I mean, seriously, who does that in America? So we're like thinking, oh dear, is she the axe murderer? Anyway, we get in her car, and she's got to drive 20 minutes now. And I said, well, what's been happening in your life? She said, well, my son overdosed. For 20 minutes, we're talking to her about her son's the tragedy, what happened, the effects it's had on her. We're talking to her about Jesus. We get to the hotel. We say to her, look, can you just wait here? We run up to the room. We get books. We come. I give her a cross. I explain the meaning of the cross. We pray over her. We give her some books. You know, it's just, we just went out shopping. Look up, look in, look back, look around, see who you can help, see who you can introduce, see who you can encourage in their journey of faith. And then what? Number five, look ahead. Number one, look. Number two, look. Number three. Number four. Number five, look ahead. And that's already been mentioned to us when we had communion. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Life without Christ is a hopeless end, but life with Christ is an endless hope. It's an endless hope. And so we are encouraged to look to the coming of our Lord, our King, our Savior, the bridegroom who's coming for the bride. You know, I meet people today who like, I'll ask them, oh, are you back at church? Oh, no, I don't do church. I said, what do you mean you don't do church? Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't do church. You know, what's wrong with you? I mean, what is wrong with you? There was one woman, I said to her, are you back at church? You know, post-COVID, are you back at church? Oh, no, I don't go anymore. She said, I watch Joyce Meyer on the television. I said, do you know something? When you're sick, Joyce Meyer isn't going to visit you. I said, get to church. St. Augustine, he said this, you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. You can't. We're part of the church. And even with its defects, the Bible knows about the defects, but he's preparing the bride for the return of the bridegroom. And we've got to be committed to the church. We've got to be committed to supporting and serving and doing whatever it takes to enrich and equip the church to see the kingdom extended. There's no such thing as, I love Jesus, but I don't really do church. That is not possible. We've got to be committed. You know, if people talked about my bride, Killy, in a nasty way, that would really hurt me. That would really upset me. If they're talking about my bride in a nasty way. And yet, when people talk about the church in a nasty way, it doesn't seem to affect us, does it? But it will when you realize that we are part of the bride. And you feel this sense of compassion and love, and you want to do what you can do to prepare her for the return of the Savior. So what do? We look up, we look in, we look back, we look around, we look forward. That's what I'm encouraging you, what I'm reminding you to do. Keep looking up. Keep looking in. Keep looking back. Keep looking around, keep looking forward, and kind of hold all those together. Go as far as you can see and see how far you can go. Go as far as you can see and then just see how far you can go. And what happens is, I can't see to the end, but if I moved a bit, oh, now I can see further. Go as far as you can see and then see how far you can go. And this Christian message that we have, and it all starts with a knock. And that's how it started for me. I was a student in London. I was not a Christian, but I met a Christian. And over a period of my first year at college, he gave me a Bible and he began to teach me what the message was. And then he showed me in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, where it has that beautiful picture of Jesus standing outside of a door of a house. And it says this, I stand at the door, Jesus says, and I knock. If you hear the knock, open the door and let me in. And my friend said to me, have you heard Jesus knocking on the door? I said, I think so. He said, have you opened the door? I said, where's the door? Where's the door? He said, don't worry about where the door is. Ask Jesus to break the door down. That kind of worked with me, that kind of language. And so I did. I knelt down on the 9th of February, 1975, beside my bed. It's the first occasion I think I ever prayed. And I said, Jesus, if you're knocking on my door, can you break this door? Wherever this door is, come into my life. And as I said that, the light came on. The light came on. Honestly, my mind was illuminated. My heart was warmed. Something changed. Something shifted. Now, when we open the door, he comes in by his Holy Spirit. When he comes in by his Holy Spirit, where does he go? Well, some of us, we open a wardrobe or a cupboard and we go, get in there. In other words, we want to have him with us, but we want to limit his influence. Some people like to have Jesus in their life a bit like a parachute. You really don't want to have to use it, but just in case for an emergency. But you know what the Bible says? It gives us three do nots regarding the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. And do not quench the Holy Spirit. So what we do is we open the door and we say, come in. Come down into the basement, clear it all out, clear the cobwebs, come into the attic, clear out the bats, come into the sitting room, the dining room, the kitchen, the bedroom. I surrender all to you. I want you to reign and rule in my life. You see, it's not just about allowing Jesus to be resident in our life, but it's allowing him to be president in our lives. Resident and president. Reigning and ruling in our lives. And as we allow that to happen, wow. So we look up, we look in, we look back, we look around, we look forwards. And it all begins with that opening the door, letting him in. And maybe some of you here tonight, you've just found yourself here tonight. You're probably wondering how you ended up here tonight, but you're here. And you've heard Jesus knocking, but you haven't opened the door. Well, why don't you open that door tonight? Why don't you open it and say, Jesus, I want you in. I want you in my life. I want to be cleansed. I want to encounter what you did for me all those years ago. I want to experience forgiveness. I want to experience your healing. I want to experience your presence. Now, some of us here tonight, we've already got him in our lives, but maybe you have restricted him. Maybe you have grieved him. Maybe you have quenched him. You've resisted. Maybe some of the rooms in your life, they're locked and you haven't ever allowed Jesus in. Why don't you say today, enough. I'm not just opening the front door. I'm opening every door. And I'm allowing Jesus to reign and rule. I'm allowing Jesus to be resident. I'm allowing Jesus to be president. Now, some of you might need to do that, either for the first time. Some of you might need to do it as a way of surrendering totally to the sovereign reign and rule of Jesus. And if you do, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Just to stand up. Now, I'm not asking you to stand up to embarrass you. I wouldn't want to do that. The reason I want you to stand up is because I want you to stand up in a church amongst hundreds of Christians. Because if you can't stand up here, you'll never be able to stand up out there. And so what I want you to do is to stand up in here so tomorrow you can stand up out there. That's why I want you to do it. And when you're standing, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. A prayer that will say, I want to open this door, or I want to surrender all. And then I'm going to get you to pray the prayer as well. And then once I've prayed that prayer and you've prayed that prayer with me, Killy is going to come up and she's going to pray for you. She's going to pray for you. And then I'm going to close with one more prayer before I hand back to our hosts. Just close your eyes just for a moment. Think about what you've heard this evening and how God has ministered to you, whether it's through the worship or the word or even the Holy Communion. And if you know that you need to stand up in a moment, either to open the door for the first time or to say, I'm opening all the doors of my life, would you please do that now? Please stand up, wherever you are. Just stand up. If that's you, stand up. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Wonderful. Does anyone else? Anyone else want to stand up? Please stand. Please stand if you do. Anyone else? Okay, now. Everyone, please stand. I love this. I love this. The reason I love this is that when the people first stood up, it does feel a bit isolated. You feel like, I'm slightly isolated here. I'm slightly alone. But look what just happened. We all stood up next to you and we're all saying, we're standing with you. We're standing with you. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. I will pray this prayer phrase by phrase. And so those of you that did stand up first, I'll pray it once so you know the words. The second time I pray the prayer out loud with me. Everyone else, if you love Jesus, can you please join in? Reinforce your own faith. Here's the prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for knocking on my door. Thank you, Jesus, for knocking on my door. I bow before you now. I bow before you now. I come just as I am. I come just as I am. I know I have done many things wrong. I know I have done many things wrong. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I open the door of my life now. I open the door of my life now. Come into my life. Come into my life. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Come in by your Holy Spirit. I want you to be resident and president. I want you to be resident and president. Reign and rule in my life. Reign and rule in my life. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Help me from this day on to build my life on you. Help me from this day on to build my life on you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen.